Who do you trust? Who is the most reliable, most trustworthy person in your world? In the last couple of weeks, my children have discovered that although they can generally trust their parents, sometimes we don't come up with the goods. With number one at high school, the getting home process has changed and there've been a couple of hiccups. And most of them have been because of the parents. Anita or I have said we would be somewhere at a certain time and we haven't, and that's caused some anxious afternoons. Who do you trust? Who do you find to be reliable no matter what? Today, as we continue in Mark's biography of Jesus, we're going to meet some people, some desperate people, who help us think about whether Jesus can be trusted. Now, I've been talking about trust, but you might have noticed as Marge read the Bible, that's not a word that shows up in the part of the Bible we're reading today. Now, we're going to hear Jesus talk about faith and believing. Why all this talk about trust? Faith is a word I reckon causes a bit of confusion. Faith is sometimes used to mean the same thing as religion. So a faith-based program, it's a euphemism to say there's going to be some kind of religious element to this activity. Sometimes people define faith as basically believing something without any evidence or despite the evidence. Even though all the evidence points the other way, I'm going to believe this anyway. Faith is basically believing something even though you know it's not true. Sometimes faith is talked about as this tingly spiritual quality. If you're into chimes, candles and old buildings, then you're a faith kind of person, but for the rest of us, we can give it a pass. But as we look at these events in the Bible today, we're going to see that when Jesus says faith or believe, it's actually the same word in the original language. What we're going to see is what Jesus is really talking about is trust. So we're picking things up and Jesus has once again sailed across the lake or the Sea of Galilee. If you remember, I think it was Micah mentioned, last time Jesus sailed across the lake, there was a mega storm that Jesus stopped with just a word. This trip back across the lake is uneventful. And now Jesus and the disciples are back in the area, probably around Capernaum, which has been the home base so far. And Jesus is by the shore of the lake, and again there's a massive crowd, but into this massive crowd a bloke comes pushing through. This guy was likely very well known. He was a powerful, well-respected leader of the community, and he's desperate. He's desperate because his little girl, his precious daughter, is almost at her end. And in his desperation, he comes to the only person that has even a chance of help. So we're picking up the story from verse 21. This is Mark chapter 5, verse 21. When Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him while he was by the lake. Then one of the synagogue leaders, named Jairus, came. And when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. He pleaded earnestly with him, "My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live." So Jesus went with him. A large crowd followed and pressed around him. Now, this is an intriguing event. It's not intriguing that a dad who's fearing the worst is desperate. But this guy's a synagogue leader. The synagogue was the place where Jewish people would gather to hear God's word and pray. Now, Jairus has some kind of leadership position in the synagogue. So far in Mark, religious leaders have not been all that keen on Jesus. Most recently, they've accused Jesus of being in league with Satan, and they've begun plotting to kill him. But Jairus is so desperate, he's even willing to go to Jesus for help. And not just to send a messenger, but to go himself, falling in the dirt before Jesus. He's not worshipping him as God, but he's begging in the dirt, begging a man his friends and his colleagues detest. Jairus is desperate, but he has some sort of trust in Jesus. Because you could imagine a synagogue, Jewish synagogue leader, when they're desperate, fasting and praying, maybe making the trek to Jerusalem to pray to God in the temple, but Jairus goes to Jesus. He goes to Jesus because he knows if Jesus touches his daughter, she will live. Maybe it took this kind of desperation for him to see through the fog, to see what none of the other religious leaders have seen, to see there's something about this Jesus. Well, Jesus hears and sees Jairus' desperation, and they start off together towards his home. But as they're on their way, they're interrupted. And so for a time, Jairus and his daughter fade into the background as the camera switches to another desperate person. Now, here's a little bit of a hint about reading the Gospels. What's happening here, where the camera is moving off Jairus and onto this other scene, it's a little bit like how TV soaps operate. In soap operas, they keep jumping between different characters and different stories. So for 30 seconds, it's two characters fighting over an inheritance, and then it jumps to two completely different people. It's a couple where an affair has just been revealed. You might think I spend all my time watching Days of Our Lives, but I don't think anything's changed since the last time I watched one of those 70-something years ago. They're always the same, aren't they? 30 seconds here, 30 seconds there. Every 30 seconds, they jump to a different story, and it just keeps going round and around. I think they do this to build suspense. They'll tell you a bit of a story, but then jump and they'll leave you hanging. Mark is doing something similar here. By taking our focus off Jairus through this interruption, we're left hanging. What's going to happen to this little girl? Will Jesus get to her in time? But Mark's also doing something a bit different from the soap operas. By sandwiching this story, by starting with Jairus and then allowing an interruption before coming back to Jairus, he's showing us that these two events are asking and answering the same thing. Can Jesus be trusted? So Jairus is Jairus is leading Jesus back to his daughter. And there's a crowd bustling all around them, trying to keep up with Jesus and Jairus. You can imagine Jairus would be kind of urging him along, come on, get to my daughter. And into that crowd comes a chronically ill and desperate woman. Let's meet her in verse 25. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. For 12 years, this lady has suffered. We're told down in verse 42, Jairus' daughter is 12 years old. Maybe Jairus thinks his daughter's life has been so brief. But I'm sure this lady feels those 12 years have been very long. For 12 years, this lady has suffered not only the disease, whatever it was, not only was she suffering the symptoms of the disease, but in her desperation, she'd fallen into poverty. And because of the nature of whatever this disease was, because it was a chronic discharge of blood, under the law of Moses, she would have been deemed unclean. For 12 years, she's been unclean. And according to the law of Moses, everything she touched would have become unclean. Every time she sat down in a chair and she got up again, it would have had to be ritually cleansed. No one would have touched her. 12 years. 12 years without a handshake or a hug. I'm guessing she's been rejected by family and friends. And this lady, in her poverty and desperation, she's brave. She's brave because she comes to Jesus. She's heard the stories going round. She's heard people say he can do incredible things. And so in her desperation, she pushes her way through the crowd to Jesus. This is a desperate act. Because if anyone noticed her, if anyone knew her situation, she'd be outed and shamed. Because anyone she touched would become unclean. Why would she do that to us? But she's heard what people are saying, so she takes the risk, pushing through the crowd to just touch the edge of Jesus' clothes. Verse 27. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I'll be healed. And Jesus doesn't become unclean, but she is healed. Verse 29. Immediately her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. Now, although the camera in the story has been taken off Jairus and onto this woman, up until this point, as all of this has been going on, Jesus has still been on his mission, heading to heal Jairus' daughter. But at this moment, as the woman touches the clothes and is healed and merges back into the crowd, at this point, the action stops. Jesus stops because he doesn't want us to miss what's just happened. Verse 30, at once Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned around to the crowd and asked, who touched my clothes? You see the people crowding around you, his disciples answered, and yet you ask, who touched me? I love the disciples. They are such concrete thinkers. Look, Jesus, are you worried about your personal space? It's a bit late now to stress about that, mate. What's the deal? Well, Jesus continues to confound them. As he keeps delaying, he completely ignores Jairus' desperation while he scans the crowd. Verse 32, but Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Now, this is a bit strange. We know from other events, Jesus knows what people are thinking. So in this moment, with the crowd pushing around him, he wouldn't have just felt the woman touching his clothes. He knows. He knows. So why does he go through the show, looking around as if he doesn't know? Why does he do it? Because he wants the woman to be noticed. He wants her to know that she's been noticed by him. Verse 33. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet and, trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering. She comes up trembling. She hasn't been allowed to touch anyone for 12 years. For 12 years she's carried deep shame, and now she's dared touch this great teacher. And Jesus sees her, and he listens to her, and he calls her daughter. Why does Jesus stop everything and look around pretending not to know? Because he wants her to know. Not only is she healed, he wants her to know that she is loved by God. Which is why he says, your faith has healed you. Your trust has healed you. Most likely she thought Jesus was a magic man, that somehow it was magic of touching him that healed her. But Jesus says, no, it's her faith in him. It's her trust in him which has made her whole. Now, as I said at the start, some people have got the wrong idea about faith. It's not as if this lady, if she had strong enough belief that by touching some bit of clothing she'd be healed, it's not as if that had worked. Like if she snuck into a shop and found a shirt, and it's not as if she believed with all her heart that by touching this shirt it would make her better. no matter how much she believed, it would make no difference. That's not what Jesus is saying. She'd heard about Jesus. She went to Jesus because she knew, she hoped, she trusted he would be able to help her. Now, I don't know how confident she was. Maybe she was absolutely sure Jesus could heal her, though I suspect after 12 years and nothing working, she'd put her trust in a lot of people in the past. I reckon she had just enough confidence to give it a try, but she was far from sure. It's got nothing to do with how much she trusted, but that with whatever trust she had, she went to Jesus. Now, while all this has been happening, Jairus has been watching time tick by. He would have been anxious. Every minute his daughter is getting closer to the end. And as Jesus is talking to the woman, being so tender to her, Jairus gets the news he's been dreading. Verse 35. While Jesus was still speaking, some people came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader. "Your daughter is dead," they said. Why bother the teacher anymore? What a kick in the guts. Jairus had left his daughter's side. He pinned all his hope on Jesus. He was willing to grovel in the dirt, the synagogue leader in the dirt, in front of this man all of his friends thought was a fraud, and she died anyway. Was it worth it? If I was in Jairus' shoes, I'd be tempted to give Jesus a piece of my mind. What a fraud. But he doesn't get a chance before Jesus shores him up. Verse 36, overhearing what they said, Jesus told him, "Don't be afraid, just believe." Now, if I didn't know Jesus, these words would sound cruel. This man is desperate. He's clung on to hope this long, and now hope has died, and Jesus says, "Just believe." Believe what? Believe who? It sounds cruel, doesn't it? And Jesus is saying, just trust me. I mean, yes, Jairus has just seen this woman healed, her body whole after carrying the stench of death for 12 years, but his daughter is dead. It's not quite on the same level, is it? But Jesus says, don't give up. Don't walk away now. Stick with me. Trust me. And Jairus believes at least enough to give Jesus a chance. And so they leave the crowd behind, and Jesus, Jairus, and three disciples continue to Jairus' home. And when they get there, it is surrounded by the sights and sound of death. Verse 37, he did not let anyone follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the home of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw a commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. Maybe Jairus had hoped the messengers got it wrong, but now there's no doubt. When the wailers are at your door, there's no doubt but that death has visited. But Jesus doesn't skip a beat. He walks through the crowd telling them there's no need for their grief. Verse 39, he went in and said to them, "Why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead, but asleep." But they laughed at him. I think we'd laugh too. Has he got no idea? Is he messing with our heads? We'll come back to why Jesus might have said this in a moment, because now things are getting serious. Jesus and Jairus and his wife and those three disciples go into the room. The room where this little girl used to sleep, but now she lies still and cold. But not for long. Verse 40 again. After he put them all out, he took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him, and he went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha kum," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, get up." Immediately the girl stood up and began to walk around. She was 12 years old. At this they were completely astonished. He gave strict orders not to let anyone know about this and told them to give her something to eat. When they entered the room, there was only death. But now she's alive. I think that's why they get her to eat, to show she's really alive and not a ghost. But how is this possible? Once again, it's not because of magic. Jesus didn't chant some magic words. He just said the same words that this little girl would have heard from her dad whenever she fell over and grazed her knees. Up you get, little girl. Remember Jesus said to Jairus, just believe. If anyone other than Jesus had said that, it would be cruel beyond belief. But Jesus shows he can be trusted. What would have happened if Jairus had not believed? If he'd done what the messengers suggested and said, look, Jesus, just don't worry about it. Well, Jesus would never have been there. He would never have said, Talitha kum. Once again, just believe. It isn't saying faith in itself does anything. It's not that believing strong enough has some kind of magic that raises the dead. Faith in faith is meaningless and powerless. But because he believes in Jesus, because he sticks with Jesus and brings Jesus into the room, Jesus is there to raise his 12-year-old to life. And the five of them get to see this. Don't be afraid. Just believe. And I take it that Jairus has believed. Not only that Jesus can give his daughter life, but he's come to follow Jesus, to give everything to Jesus. That's why we know his name. There's very few people in the Bible other than the disciples whose names get recorded. But this synagogue leader whose daughter was raised by Jesus, we know his name. I think he continued to trust Jesus. And he and his wife and the three have seen what Jesus has done. But at this point in Jesus' ministry, it's not for others to know. I think that's why he told the crowd the girl was only asleep. So for them, when they see this little girl walk out of the house, they'll be overjoyed. But they might think she was just really, really sick, but not dead. And so they'll tell the story, maybe, of the miracle worker. But they won't know the whole story yet. Now, Jesus, when he said that she was asleep, he wasn't lying. Sleep is a metaphor for death in the Old Testament. But I think he says this so that they don't quite understand and they won't quite realise at this point what's going on. Because at this point when people haven't worked out who Jesus truly is, and they're not going to until he dies and rises again, at this point, if they were to go and tell everyone about Jesus, they'd be spreading the wrong message. They'd think Jesus' main thing was healing the sick or raising the dead. It's only after Jesus has died and risen to life himself that at that point the miracles become clear. He does all of these things to reveal who he is. That God's King, God's Christ is here. The kingdom has come to bring not merely life now, not merely resuscitation from the dead, but eternal life. Because that's Jesus' message, isn't it? The time has come, Jesus said. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. What does he want you to believe? What does he want us to have faith in? The good news. The good news of the kingdom. The good news that Jesus is God's King who came to live and die for us. It's important we get this right. We aren't on the road with Jairus. Jesus hasn't told us to believe that we'll never get sick or that the person we love will never die. That's never been promised. But Jesus has told us to believe the gospel, the good news, to trust him for eternity. The question today is, can he be trusted? Is it worth throwing your lot in with Jesus? Well, these two events show us he can. It's not just that he's able. Look, that he calmed the storm shows us his power, but these two events show us his heart. Jesus stopped everything to see the woman and call her daughter. Jesus went into the house of a bloke who would have been his enemy. This doesn't just show Jesus' power, but his heart, his compassion. That's why we can trust him, not just that he is able, but because of his heart. The one who the woman trusted to make her clean, the one Jairus trusted to give life, the one Jesus loved, the ones that Jesus loved enough to do that, that's the one. That's the one we can trust with all things for all time. Let's pray. Father God, we praise you because in Jesus we see not only power, but compassion. And that is why Jesus can be trusted. Please help us know deeply that Jesus can be trusted and enable us, strengthen us, encourage us to put our faith in him. Amen.